Hey there. Have an idea for a future episode? Share your idea with us at bit.ly/askscrumsup. That's bit.ly/askscrumsup, all one word. Not only might your suggestion become a future episode, but each month we'll pick a random entrant as the winner of a limited edition 2 Scrums Up t-shirt. That's bit.ly/askscrumsup. Go there today. Hi, welcome to 2 Scrums Up, a show where we share our successes and missteps practicing Scrum in an agency environment. While what works for us might not work for everybody, we hope our stories and advice are helpful. I'm John Ragazine, and with me is Ken Medley.
Hi, everyone. Thank you, John. I'm really pumped, really excited about today's episode. We're going to talk about the Sprint Review. With us today, here in the virtual studio, is an agile process leader here at Alley, Michael Munez. Welcome to the podcast, Michael.
Hi, Ken and John. It's great to be here.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for joining us today to talk about your, I think, your favorite Scrum ritual. Is that right?
I think it is my favorite.
So bring us all up to speed. What is it that we're talking about? You know, why do we have it? Let's start kind of unpacking the facts about it.
Sure. So the Sprint Review, or as some people synonymously refer to it as the Sprint Demo, is generally a time near the end of the sprint where the team will gather with the product owner and the Scrum Master and the stakeholders for the project they're working on and present the work that represents the increment from that sprint. You know, here at Alley, we run weekly sprints. So what this would mean is that on a weekly basis, we have an opportunity to talk through the product we're delivering and get that feedback and turn it around in the very next sprint for improvements or enhancements or any changes that are desired. It's also an opportunity to talk about how the sprint went, to look at things that went well, understand where some of the stumbling blocks might have been during the sprint. Really, I think why it is my favorite ritual is because I feel that the sprint review enables other rituals to be highly productive and successful. A solid sprint review sets you up for a solid sprint planning session because you now know what your priorities are going into the next sprint. A solid sprint review sets you up for a really powerful retrospective because you can dive straight into what improvements or changes the team might want to take on now that they've already surfaced the things that went well and the work that they had in front of them.
Ken, way back when we spoke with JJ Sutherland, he talked about, you know, never demo partially done work. You have to really strategically define what the work is because sometimes we only have like a portion of a page view completed and done.
Yeah, I remember that episode and it was a big takeaway for me as well. When you think about it through the lens of, you know, our definition of done and what can we actually get done by the end of the sprint, demo the value that you are delivering, not how hard you worked. Because I also remember JJ in that episode saying, no one cares how hard you work.
Yeah, I mean, they might be appreciative, but at the end of the day, if you work super hard and they have nothing to show for it, you know, like I worked really hard cooking you dinner, but I have nothing for you to eat. You're going to be hangry. So
right. But Michael, I'm curious, you make the distinction between a sprint review and a sprint demo. And we've been talking about the demo portion of it, specifically in my mind, like talking demo to clients, like here's the stuff that we built for you and now we're showing it. But there's also like internal demos and sprint reviews. Can you speak to that a little bit, the difference between a review and the demo?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, as an agency with multiple clients where we are meeting with our clients on a weekly basis, a lot of the product demo that we normally would do during a sprint review tends to happen during those client meetings. You know, the rituals aren't meant to follow them just for the sake of following them because we're told we're supposed to do them, right? Like if it's duplicating effort elsewhere, then we recognize that. So for us, we treat the demo as a component of the review. And we frame that around work that was completed and met the definition of done as it relates to the sprint goals for the given sprint. For us, we try to keep it about demonstrating functionality. It's not a code walkthrough. We actually have a show and tell on Fridays that we do with our team that is set aside specifically for that. We also use that time to talk through challenges that we faced and had to work together as a team to overcome them during the sprint, and risks that we identified, whether or not they came to fruition, just the fact that they were identified during the sprint, and celebrating successes over the course of the sprint. We also then look at the roadmap for the projects we're working on and see how the work we completed that sprint matches up with where we're projected to be and how that influences the roadmap going forward. We also then look at our velocity and talk about yesterday's weather as it relates to how we did that sprint. And that's all stuff that, like I said before, it feeds into planning. Our planning happens immediately after our sprint review. So all of this really sets us up. So when we get to planning, we're not talking about any of the mechanics. We're really focusing on, here are the priorities in front of us that we want to accomplish as a team, and let's figure out how we're going to get there. It usually leads to some pretty good conversation.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious because, you know, as you walk through your kind of explanation of what you're going through, we have our demos within every other sprint. So every sprint we're doing planning, every sprint we have a retro, but we don't always have a sprint review every single sprint. Some of that work is demoed on client calls throughout the week, but the sit down and like show and tell stuff is every other week for us. In fact, our retro is the following day. So I guess, how do you see sprint review and sprint retro differing? Is one like, I guess it's sort of like preparatory work for something else, but like I usually have those conversations then. And I'm just curious as like how your team kind of grew to have the conversations earlier.
Yeah, I think it just sort of happened organically. We thought, you know, if we surface some of these things like the challenges and identify the things that didn't go as planned, when we get to our retrospective, which is the next day for us, we already have that context and we already have the starting point for a conversation. So we know, at least as it relates to the work we completed, where we struggled. It allows us to really focus our conversation during retro on the improvements.
Yeah.
Kind of like you're going to have the conversation. So you're couching it in that place because your team is in the mindset. Because sometimes it happens in retros, I find, where like if you're talking about an issue, it becomes like a systemic or a like long-standing issue with like a development process or with like some type of interpersonal relationship with like maybe a stakeholder or something, and it kind of like spins outward, which isn't necessarily a problem, but it's nice that you're able to kind of like hedge the team in and keep them focused on like these past five work days, this is what we did, these are where the challenges were, like let's talk about this stuff so that we can like, you know, iterate in small kind of small chunks. Ken, what do you think about, I don't know what your team's cadence is, but I know that mine differs greatly from Michael. How about yourself?
We have a couple different sprint demos.
Yeah.
We have, you know, ones that are specifically with clients where we meet with them. And that's really just a like I mentioned, a demo of this is the stuff that we built for you this sprint. We kind of quickly maybe touch base on, and then the upcoming sprint, here's what we are planning, that kind of thing. And then we do an internal sprint demo / review where everyone on the team can share, hey, this is something cool that I was working on that I think would be beneficial for the whole team to know about. I'll demo in there too, just like you do, John. Like, hey, this is what I'm working on with the podcast. Maybe here's some blogs I wrote. We try to use that as a time to show sort of our work across the board. It helps break down those like team silos or individual silos on our team. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah, project silos or like even feature silos.
Yeah, where, exactly.
Yeah, it's like a knowledge sharing opportunity. Like there's a couple of different things that stand out to me with review demo stuff. One is obviously like showing the value that you provided, but it's also a way to kind of share knowledge. It's sort of like, here's how I leverage Gutenberg to do a thing. Like, here it is. Right. And everyone's like, oh, great. We can like just use that on all these other sites and tweak it slightly to accomplish all this stuff. So it's foundational and it's sharing. But it's also like, and Michael, you said this earlier, celebrating successes, it's sort of like a recognition opportunity. Even if it's just like there's not actually being called out, but you're sharing work and people are like, that was cool. Thank you for sharing. It helps a team, you know, jive a little bit, which I think is great to have in the cadence of, you know, every sprint.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Chris Montgomery, who wrote and produced the music for this podcast, is on my team. And so when we were having our sprint review, our sprint demo, and I was showing like in the early stages, like, hey, we're starting to put together a podcast. Here's some ideas. Here's the things that we've put down. Chris jumped on and was like, hey, I think I could solve that problem. I think I could help. You know, so we started that conversation. It came out of a sprint review. So like you were mentioning, John, it is a chance for us to share some things, and it may spark ideas in other team members, you know, to help jump in and add value in different ways.
So, Michael, again, to kind of dig into this a little bit more, you know, I know from our conversations before we started recording and stuff that your team wasn't always super psyched or really into having like a review demo at a regular pace. Like many teams, it was sort of like, hey, can we just like do work and do as much work as possible? And that's how we're productive, is by like just churning through work constantly. And then teams get burned out fast. Everyone's been there. But how did you bring your team around from like, hey, we don't have to, like, it's there, the code's there, you can look at it on your own time, we're good to go, to like really embracing not only demoing work, but then like reviewing overall and looking at like project roadmaps, like if the team is into that, that's something that everybody wants to know. So yeah, what was that process like?
Yeah, it was an interesting journey. When I joined the team was not meeting for sprint demos. Of all the rituals, that is probably the one that is most likely to be sort of forgotten or lost in the shuffle. Because you're right, there's the tendency to want to like just go heads down and focus on work rather than talking about the work and demonstrating the work. Yeah, so we started with weekly demos on Fridays, and we called them demos. We had a structured approach, but it was kind of like the route of where you don't want your daily scrum to go. We're going to demo every single ticket that was completed in the sprint, whether it related to a sprint goal or not, or, you know, no matter how big or how small, we're going to talk about every single ticket. And, you know, an hour is not enough time to talk about every ticket in a sprint. It did address the initial challenge that we had. And at the time we were split across 5 different clients. So 5 different projects. So there was a sense of feeling siloed on projects, because one or two people would be working on one project and they were the only people working on it. So they would feel like, you know, maybe they're working on a client project that isn't, you know, the big production project that everyone's focused on. Suddenly they feel detached and they feel like, you know, nobody really knows what they're working on and they don't know what others are working on. So it did address that. And that was great. That was a huge step forward. You know, yeah, it became like a checklist, and it just felt like we weren't getting the most value out of that hour together, especially since a lot of those tickets were already being demoed for clients during client meetings. You know, and John, this was your advice to me a while ago, and it was, you know, if things don't feel like they're working quite right, go back to basics. So, you know, I did exactly that, and I thought, okay, well, what would Mr. Sutherland do? And so I went back to like, how does Scrum define a sprint review and what is expected to happen during a sprint review? And it's actually quite a lot. You know, it's meant to enable you to successfully close the sprint knowing that you're ready to move on to the next sprint. I saw a lot of opportunity for being able to pick out feedback that can create additional work for the next sprint. It addressed some of the transparency issues that the team had voice, like they like to know, how are we doing on our budget for these clients? How cautious do we need to be about the time we're spending on a given task? How cautious do we need to be about who does a certain task, knowing how much budget is available?
Right. Like a sense of ownership over more than just the code work. They're almost talking about like the business concern, which sometimes teams get that information and it's like empowering, and sometimes it's debilitating, you know, like, so it's a very right. fine line to walk. And it sounds like your team is more towards the former, which is cool.
Yeah. You're right. Like, it can be, you know, when you're faced with metrics that show, gosh, we're like, we've completed 25% of the work and we've used 50% of the budget, it could feel debilitating, right? But our team actually prefers to know. They just want to know. It's the reality, whether we're presenting it to them or not, that that's where we are. So at least, you know, they feel like they're connected to the project, and they do feel like they have a greater sense of ownership.
Yeah. And, you know, and the times when we have touched on sort of like budgetary stats or whatever, I think it's really important for teams to know, at least my team to know, that that might not be sort of like the last conversation on it. Like, if we're able to provide so much extra value on something that came up halfway through a project, it may well affect timeline or scope or whatever. And if the stakeholders understand the value that they're getting, that could always be a revisited conversation.
When you're talking about the success of a sprint, you know, we have some artifacts we look at. We have our burn downs. We can talk about how our velocity is increasing or decreasing sprint over sprint. But there's so many more metrics we can be looking at. And the team felt like we just weren't taking a holistic view of the sprint. I adapted the ideas behind something that's called an agile balance dashboard. But the idea is, you look at the value you delivered, you look at the satisfaction of the client, you look at the satisfaction of the team, and all of that paints a picture of, like, was this a successful sprint? You can complete everything in the sprint, you could hit your velocity marks, and if the team is miserable, maybe it wasn't such a great sprint. So,
oh, absolutely not. Yeah, right. it's like, come on, focus on like the wider view. If it's only just sort of like, you know, numbers in and numbers out. Some folks, you know, flourish in that type of environment, but I think a lot of folks don't. And that's definitely not the idea behind what a healthy Scrum team, you know, needs to be.
Yeah, exactly. So we do reflect on our happiness metric. Towards the end of the sprint review, after we've closed the sprint, we kind of go over all our data. And I have some charts that I throw up for the team. And I tend to throw in extra metrics like, you know, the number of times someone says Scrum in Slack or something like that, or the
like a little Easter egg kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, number of days since someone last used profanity in Slack. And, you know, of course it's funny, because then immediately the team starts typing in profanity in Slack to skew the numbers for the next one. But
I mean, if I remember your team correctly, it's always profanity strewn. And no, I'm sorry, Michael's team. I'm just kidding.
It had actually been 20 days when I used that metric. I was surprised.
Alley is an agency, so we have a multitude of clients. And sometimes those clients work with one team. Sometimes they work with several teams. And in fact, mm-hmm. a client that Ken and I shared, and another team actually, had a lot of different initiatives going. And some of the stakeholders crossed over. And what was cool about that was, in sort of like embodying Scrum, they were like, hey, can we have like a big demo? You know, like, let's get everyone from every project together and do a big demo and a big retro. And initially I was like, I'm terrified of this idea. I don't know why, but like, I was like overwhelmed or something. But at the end of it, it was great. Like, I loved seeing sort of like, hey, this is, you know, just some maintenance stuff, but it was pretty cool. And then it was like, here's this new feature that we built and this is how it works. And like, it was all shared mm-hmm. at the same time. And it was shared pretty broadly. Like, I feel like there were, I don't know, like 24 client stakeholders of varying degrees. Some of them were like business people. Some of them were more like, I'm also doing development work. And it was just like a great sort of like open platform. And Ken, you facilitate a lot of those. And I thought it went really great. But that was definitely like a daunting idea, to share multiple teams sharing a demo with like little crossover in the actual individual projects.
Yeah, but it was really helpful though to see what other folks were working on across the platform, you know, because there were times in those meetings where we uncovered dependencies, you know, that had we not had those reviews, those demos, we wouldn't have surfaced those things probably. It was very productive, you know.
it didn't drag on. It wasn't like some like half day affair or whatever. It was time boxed. It was, mm-hmm. it moved along at a great clip, a great pace. There was minimal preparation and it was very lightweight. But there were those crossovers that was like, oh, that's going to be like an update to like the core theme that we have to make sure we do before you deploy that. So we'll do that next sprint. And it was like, just as simple as that. You know what I mean? And getting everyone together for it was just like invaluable. So Michael, your take is, and what has worked so well for your team is move beyond the demo and do a full sprint, the sprint review, sort of like the academic sprint review, or at least a more complete view of things. And just something like a demo is like, just to go the other way, that demo did a lot of work beyond sharing value.
Oh yeah.
Which I think was like super interesting to like experience now that it's like a thing we understand compared to when we first started.
What was your experience like with that many stakeholders and receiving feedback? Were they contributing to that conversation, since it sounds like you had folks from all levels of the organization?
Yeah, I guess on the surface, you know, as you say that, you know, it could sound like ripe for disaster. But in this case, it wasn't. Like, everyone there was there, I felt like, approached it with a great attitude of like, I'm here to learn. I'm here to see what's going on. And if I have, you know, a valuable thing to share, I'll share it. But what was really great is everybody started like assuming best intention and then just asked clarifying questions.
Yeah.
And when you can approach a project in that way, like, man, it's so nice to work with, you know, clients that are like that, right? Because it sparked ideas. It was like, oh, hey, if y'all are doing that over here, maybe we should do that over here also. Hey, dev team, what do you all think? Is that possible? Could we do that? Yes, no. Okay, great. I'll create some tickets for that and we can explore it, or we'll do some research spikes or something. So very rarely did it get to the point of like finger pointing or asking negative questions or anything like that. You know, it was really smooth and really helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good point too, Ken, because, you know, they would say like, that's cool. Can we have this over in this other area? And like, what's the, you know, even like a quick view of like, what's the effort size in that? And, you know, your team or my team, whatever, will give like a very sort of like caveated answer of like, we think it's this, but, you know, make the ticket or like write up what you want in an email or whatever. And that's what happened.
Right.
But I find so often too, by sharing these things, those myriad stakeholders were able to have conversations about things that were going on. Like, oh, this reminds me, I want to do this thing, you know, later on or what have you. And they were having conversations with each other. Like, we weren't demoing anything during those moments. Like, we demoed the initial sort of like spark, and then they were having these really great conversations amongst, you know, two different business sectors and the same client. And let alone, you know, once self-quarantine and stuff started, it was very invaluable, I think, for them to be on a regular Zoom call that was already established. You know, it just sort of like, they didn't miss a trick, which is really great.
That's amazing.
Yeah, to answer your question, Michael, also, like, on those particular calls, you know, you had three scrum masters and three product owners, so it was kind of hard to get away with some of that. Oh, can you just do that over here too? That'd be great. You know, we'll demo that next week.
Yeah.
Like, nope. There's three scrum masters listening for that stuff. Go, oh, can you create a ticket for that? That'd be great. Thanks.
Actionable takeaways. Yeah. No, it was cool.
I love that it achieved a really important goal, though, and it sparked conversation among the stakeholders. You know, and that's kind of in the, you know, one of the spirits of the sprint review. Like, what you want to take away from that is, now that we as stakeholders, or they as stakeholders, have seen the increment and seen what's been delivered, they can now think about, okay, so now that we have this, like, what next? Or how might we want to build onto this? Or maybe now that we have this, we want to change it a little bit. So it gives them an opportunity to, it empowers them to sort of set the priority going forward after you've given that demo. And I think, you know, the fact that they were having a conversation where it sounds like you were kind of like, all right, well, we're going to sit back and we're going to observe, but let you talk through it and then come to a decision on how you're going to guide us going forward. And that's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, how often does this happen to folks who are in like traditional meetings or even demos, where you go through it and they're like, this is awesome. I am now going to like write up some like boilerplate report and send it around to like different people inside my organization so they know what's going on. And like, you cut out all of that busy work and all of that potential for miscommunication. And instead it's like, everyone's right there. I mean, you don't want to talk about a hierarchy, but it's people that were like really boots on the ground and folks that were very like high idea, sort of like holistically 30,000 foot business people.
Yeah,
and everybody was folks there. Yeah, exactly. They were hearing the same stuff. And they were able to ask questions in real time.
And if they see something, they're like, whoa, that was really cool. Can we get that across the whole platform? And, you know, like, why not? You know, why not do this everywhere? It's so great. We're right then and there able to tell them no. Or
yeah, that too. You know, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Or, you know, so they don't, so our clients don't have to waste time of, well, let's draft a proposal. Let's see if they can do this and all this kind of stuff. We can just say, hey, that was built so specifically for this one use case that we implemented for you. If you wanted to implement it elsewhere, we would need tickets. We could size that thing. But just so y'all know, that'd be a pretty heavy lift. Right. And right then and there, they're like, oh, well, hey, that's not that important. Never mind. Hey, if it was copy paste, let's do it. But if not, then hey, forget about it. Like, not only did we save time, we saved their organization time by not having to have those meetings, draft proposals, write a new statement of work,
time,
all those sorts of things.
For them,
right.
For sure.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
You know, at Alley, since we use the Scrum at Scale model, we have an executive action team. And one of the things that they do every sprint is have an internal demo for us. The executive action team is here for all of the Scrum teams at Alley to support, remove impediments for us. And I think it's really cool that once a week, they demo to us, their stakeholders, what they're doing.
Right.
And so some of that could be like, hey, here's this, here's the benefits, you know, review time that's coming up, go in, make your, you know, selections. Hey, this is what's going on in the company. It might be a time to make announcements or anything like that, but they don't have to be just Scrum team focused. They don't have to be just client focused. Like if you have that executive action team, it could be a chance to demo to whoever your stakeholder is. And just because they're the folks on your team at, you know, your organization doesn't mean that you're not going to demo to them.
Yeah, the executive action team is made up of the partners at Alley. So it's a little bit of a different situation than the rest of the company to a certain extent, although those folks are also on Scrum teams. But it's still, it's them presenting their value to us because, you know, and ideally we're their stakeholders. And, you know, it's no unusual feat, I think, for a company, be they geolocated or remote or whatever, to be like, hey, here's leadership. We're going to come meet with you like once a quarter and talk about like what's going on. You know what I mean? And we have a separate like monthly town hall that's hosted by a subset of the partners usually. But this is like very much sort of like, hey, this is what's going on right now. This is what we've solved right this week, or this is what we're going to be working on next week. And it's, again, it's time box like anything else. They hold it to 15 minutes of like, hey, we're going to talk through this stuff. Any questions? Obviously, they'll take them. And then it's done. And, you know, invariably, it's always a good one. So I never miss the demo.
Yeah, and that's a great example of a demo as well, right? There is work that is completed to serve us that also merits an opportunity for feedback. And those EAT demos are great for that because you're right. They present, and then there's always time at the end for questions and discussion. So it's absolutely a very, very useful way of communicating and making work visible.
Yeah, just to kind of roll everything up, call it sprint review, call it sprint demo. The best thing you can do, I think, with a work environment is be transparent. There's no reason to hold things behind an iron curtain or anything like that. It's like, put it out there. This is what happened in almost real time. This is how it relates to the value that we promise to always be delivering you, client, stakeholder, teammate, colleague, whatever. Get it out there and do it at a regular cadence. If anything, it'll just kind of like bolster shared understanding, creativity, yep, and a sense of camaraderie, which I always enjoy.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Two Scrums Up is hosted by me, Ken Medley, an agile process leader here at Alley, as well as the director of agile processes, John Ragazine.
Our logo is by Kelsey Lakotis, and our theme music is by Chris Montgomery.
Two Scrums Up is a podcast distributed by Alley. Learn more at alley.co.
Our very special guest today was our colleague, coworker, and friend, Michael Muniz. Michael, thank you for taking time out of your day to talk with us about the sprint review or sprint demo. Before we let you go, though, Michael, can you please look into your crystal ball and tell us what the Fibonacci number of the day is?
34.
Hike. Thank you, Michael. That's perfect. Get it out there and do it at a regular cadence. If anything, it'll just kind of like bolster shared understanding, creativity, and a sense of camaraderie, which I always enjoy.
Who doesn't like camaraderie?
Poor spellers. Thank God for Grammarly. Okay, so...
Outro.
I did that, the X. I thought we were wrapping up. Is that okay? Is that cool?
Yeah, it sounded great, yeah.
It's going to be a great one. Okay.
It's so great.